I think we should just fucking do it.
We should just pull the band-aid off and we should just hit that fucking record button.
Speaking of, I'm going to start this episode with a shot of NyQuil.
So the fact that you've been coughing this entire time is because you're like, I have a bit locked and loaded and ready to go. We've been on the phone for 30 minutes and you haven't taken your illness medicine.
Because I can't, you know, right now, this is like, I'll take it now and then I'll perfectly start to get sleepy by the time we're done. It's foolproof.
It's foolproof. It's actually a banger of a plan.
Oh.
It's good. Wow. Drinking NyQuil with a shot of Modelo after is the most white trash thing could possibly fucking done.
I know my roots. I know where I come from. I know who I am.
The fucking alcohol chaser. That's so crazy.
It's just disgusting is what it is. But I am really, I'm really jazzed. I know that we're behind on this episode, but I am genuinely so excited to talk about it. I'm so stoked.
Oh, baby.
Mm.
They don't fucking make them like they used to. They don't fucking make them like they did in 2025. Expedition 33, peppered. Baby, come to me. This shit's so fucking hot. I love this is my favorite genre of video game, which is overly overly complex with the like way that it's like you can see the like story map of this game.
Yeah,
and it's so
a web.
It's so complicated. It's this giant web, insanely queer in every like the second you open the game you're like, yep, this is this, and this type of fucking indie Undertale inspired, holy shit, this I love this fucking type of game so much. It's so peak. This game is so good that this is the first game I've 100%ed in ages. I 100%ed it. For people listening, and they're like, yeah, this episode was really late. I moved out of Toronto. Dylan flew down. We were going to record. We just got swept up in not recording, hanging out, and then watching 30 Rock. We then drove 14 hours. We then loaded a van of all of my worldly possessions.
You hold up.
We drove 14 hours to Brooklyn. We went insane. And by we, I mean, I was like, man, this is long. 14 hours is a tough drive. I can't drive. Dylan went fucking insane.
I did.
Driving 14 hours to the point where Dylan was checked out for the next literal 2 days. It's like being for the next 2 days.
The next day I was dreaming while I was awake. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was intense. I rearranged my entire room in Brooklyn. It's so beautiful. I wish y'all could see it. But
it's
then
so cozy.
I know, it's so fucking cozy. And I hadn't played Peppered for the I've just had to fly back to London because I have the final steps of visa stuff happening.
Final steps.
Final steps. So the next like 2 months of our regularly scheduled Dorkspawn programming, I will be in this space until November, and then I should be in Brooklyn full time forever. The entire time I didn't really touch Peppered like at all. And then last week Tuesday. Because it says it was coming up, and I was like, well, I got to play and finish the whole game.
Yeah.
I played it, I finished it. I was like, fuck, that was good. And then I finished it on like Wednesday morning, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe we got time. And then I played it again. And then I finished it because the second time run through is just so much faster because you can skip 90% of the cutscenes. And I was like, oh, sick. And then I played it two more times on the Wednesday. Thursday happened. I was talking to Elliot about it, and Elliot was like, oh, I didn't get that ending. I got these ones. I was like, ah, all right. And then I played it over and over and over again all day Thursday until I had 100%ed it, got every single ending, including one of the endings where you have to get 100% of the collectibles throughout the entire final act. And it was a pain in the ass. Oh, which means, by the way, you cannot die a single time on the final act. A pain in the ass.
Right.
And then I the other day started playing Deltarune because I needed another Undertale like to start playing. So then I played Toby Fox's sequel to Undertale Deltarune, which also, let everyone know, fucks real hard.
Does
it's fantastic.
It? I haven't
but that's
touched
an,
it yet.
It's great. Do you play Undertale?
Thing. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to introduce that game to Elliot, who played it recently. I got to watch him play it, which was great. But this game was recommended to us by Elliot, who you will remember
That's
from
true.
Our Expedition 33 episode. Hi, my name is Dylan. I've never played Peppered before.
Hello, my name is Roman. I have played Peppered 100 million times, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I have. Right. We're a one and done for this one. This is Dorkspawn, a video game book club podcast where we play choice-heavy video games and discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club. And this is our episode on all of Peppered.
On all of Peppered. Mm. I'm going to tell you this, gang. A lot of the times we are like, play along with us. Obviously, because this is one and done, that can't happen. Literally download Peppered right now.
Go play it.
Go on Steam and just play Peppered. If you don't have a computer to play Steam, literally any console that you have, I'm pretty sure it's on most of them. It's not long. It fucks so hard.
Yeah.
It's so
Elliot
good.
Elliot played it on Switch, so I know at the very least it's on there.
I mean, look at that. Perfect. That was the only one I was worried it wouldn't be on. It's so sick. So, Peppered.
I wanna set something up for us. Can we talk, because I guess it depends on how yours went, but I want to talk about our first playthroughs first.
Yes,
before
I think we'll
explore.
Talk through our first, and then we'll just talk about everything
else.
Because
that feels
that
like the
happen.
Canon. It's like, for me, is like what
I believe,
happened in my
I believe
first.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay. So, I don't have notes for this because genuinely, gang, I got so enraptured in it that I just stopped doing it. Also, this is a pretty hard game to write stuff down.
Sure, it is. So basically, no matter what, it starts out the same. You are interviewing at a kind of bland corporate office. You are a funky little guy, first of all. You're a funky little
goat.
Goat sheep?
Makes sense. Sheep, goat makes sense, yeah.
Something like that. You are a funky little goat sheep guy. Whatever. And on the day that you are interviewing for this bland corporate job, which starts out basically with you having to make a cup of coffee on an interview. And as that is happening, as you're doing that, it is very quickly revealed that this is a big annual holiday. Holiday, question mark, a big event.
I mean, I guess a big event.
Where the god of death is coming back or will be escaping unless this guy the only human ever to enter this world whose name is
Theodore
comes and puts a life star into the cage that's keeping the god of death at bay. We learn that everyone in this world has been immortal ever since Theodore first trapped the god of death in this place. Which explains the kind of platformer rules that are happening as you're playing. This is a platformer game. It's a side-scrolling platformer where you're kind of moving through the world, and if you die, you respawn at your recent checkpoint, just like a lot of games. But
what's
they kind
really
of given...
fun is when you respawn, when you die on a level and you respawn, a lot of the things that you've done stay the same.
Right,
so for example,
you
if you click a button
yeah.
and it's like, oh, this is a 30-second timer on it,
yes,
and then you die doing platforming, when you respawn, it's like, well, it, now it has a 20-second timer on it because it took you 10 seconds till you died. Mm-hmm. Death is also a thing in this world that is so casual that we'll talk about it in a bit, because there's a section of the game and the office where you have to die to get around. It's a very yeah. casual, easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. My first run, I made a coffee.
You did it on your first run? That's so funny.
I made a coffee. I got the job because I'm fantastic at making coffee. And by making coffee is literally pressing a button and giving it to the boss. This you're being interviewed by this woman named Cynthia. You make a coffee, you go into the back room, and then you get hired at the company. You then work, and then it's time skips 5 years ahead. The god of death has been unleashed. Everything is going like you're looking outside, and everything is going to hell. Now at this point, I am. I think that this is the game. This is the way the game works.
Right.
And I'm. I didn't know that immortality was a thing, which I know is crazy. I must have misread or just like not picked up on this thing. Anyway, you work at this place for 5 years. Everything is hell outside. You then get promoted. Your boss says that they have sold the company to the god of death. It then jumps ahead 10 years, and then there's another little scene where you get promoted again, and then it's 40 or 50 years. You are now like an old... Oh, wait, no, wait, it's not yet. It's 5 years, and then it's a 10 years, and then there is an outstandingly good bit where you are... Yes. You have to give a presentation to yes. the cult of death that turn up. And there is this quick time event, which is exactly the same. When you make a coffee, you need to press... It's like it has this like side-scrolling, like almost like mm-hmm. rhythm game thing, but it's just clicking yeah. one button, you're clicking up. This bit has the same, but it's like you're... Current boss dies, you are now in charge, you have to make a presentation in a very like a business plan in a very short amount of time because the cult of death's outside, and then they are going to execute everyone unless, you know, they're just going to execute everyone and you're trying to make it so that doesn't happen. But every single button press that you do is the business plan. So I was at the computer, I played this first section on the computer, and I was writing words just like as a fun bit. I was just hitting words. And then it's like, your business plan is, and then it says every single letter that you have pressed in this like yep. manic feral thing, which mine was just kind of gibberish. It was a bunch yeah. of different words, mm-hmm. but it was a bunch of different words after another. You walk outside, you hand this plan to the cult of death. They're like, oh shit, this is actually really good. You don't die, your team doesn't die. It then jumps ahead 50 years. You are now tied to your office chair. You do have a family, but you haven't seen them in a very, very long time. Oh my god, I do forget what it is, because there, I think there is another scene in between. Anyway, you work for the god of death for your entire life. You then get imprisoned into this company. You roll your chair to the end because you've finally paid off all of your debt. You talk to different cult members of death, and they're like, your plan sucked. Your business plan was just a bunch of garbled like words and letters. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea at the time. I think I was just under a lot of stress. But then you work up all your debt. You roll your chair with this big, heavy, like comically large boulder to the end of the room. They let you out of your chains. You walk towards your family. You trip over, snap your neck, and die. And that is, that was my first run of Peppered, approximately 20 minutes long.
Did you? Okay. So what you've just done, just so you know, you've kind of combined two endings, the ending one and ending two. So ending
two. Oh, one of them is running away.
Yeah. When you refuse to give the presentation, they actually just chain you to a desk and force you to work there making coffee for like 40 years.
The first time I did give a business plan.
You did.
There we go.
That's the one where at the end they're like, hey, this company failed and it's your fault because your business plan was a bunch of gibberish.
Because your business plan fucking sucked. That's what I was getting confused about. And then you get executed. Then you get executed. And then you wake up. And what's really weird about the second wake up, which is why I thought it was the canon first thing you had to do, is that the office is like kind of going through meltdown on your second run through. Like the first room you walk into, like all the sprinklers are on. And it's the only time things change and shift throughout all of the runs is if you stay at the company for your whole life. Then the next run where you wake up and you're 20 odd years old again, interviewing for this shitty job, and the alarm system is like going haywire. Anyway, that was my first run. My first run, I lived in the company my whole life. And the second run, I was like, I wonder what else I could do.
Yeah. And the second run is where you ran from the cultists and then they let you
see your
family.
No, that was a far later one. I just couldn't remember.
Oh, okay.
My second run, I got out of the building and I actually did stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But you tell me what was your first thing. And I know this is the whole game, so I will be interjecting. And
this is,
we'll be talking about
stuff.
It's, but
my first one was not really the whole game because I know there are other worlds I didn't make it to on my first run. But my first run, I very genuinely could not figure out how to make coffee. It was not an intentional choice. I hit other button that normally works in the game. And none of them. It is the only time in the game that the D-pad is used as a central mechanic. So
that's
I just didn't get it. So I didn't make coffee. She was like, you can't work here. And she was like, get out. And everybody's freaking out about the fact that the God of Death is escaping and Theodore is nowhere to be found today. The star has been left out on the balcony of this building where you are interviewing to work. And so I leave in shame and I see the star just there. You also see like TV newscasters, people freaking out. The guy that was going to be your boss is freaking out because Theodore has not been seen or heard from at all. Nobody knows what's happening. And everybody is freaking out that the God of Death is going to be released. So you walk out there and you see the star is just like sort of there. And I walk up to it and I'm like, I'm going to take this. And the woman who was just interviewing is like, you can't take that. That's there for Theodore, who's going to save us. And you're like, yeah, but we haven't seen him. And it's like close to happening. So what do you mean? And she is just like, but that's just the way it's done. If you know, like no one else can do this. And I was like, I bet I can. And she sort of sarcastically is like, oh, sure. No problem. Go ahead and do it. And then I take it and I run. And she's like, oh, and calls the police.
You took it and run and then she fights you, though, right?
Nope. I took it, stole it, and ran and jumped off the building, and that's it.
Whoa!
Ran off the building, and then she called the cops. And then the game, you get the cool logo screen where
and
you
then
jumped
you get
off
the,
and you
that,
stole the star,
the title
and it's
screen.
Like peppered. Yeah. And so then you jump down into the main floor of this like office campus where you're trying to get away, and the police have been called. Namely, there's one police officer who is assigned to...
Arguably the last police officer that exists. Arguably the last police officer.
Yeah. who is trying to stop you, now dubbed the Star Thief, because now you are considered at fault, not Theodore, who hasn't shown up at all for his world-saving duties, but you, the Star Thief. So, cool thing, escaping the workplace area, World Zero, is interesting because you get introduced to a lot of the mechanics and stuff like that. But then at the end, what's interesting about this is that all these people start to like try to stop you or question you or whatever. But even if you get caught, they all do let you go, including the police officer who gets you kind of towards the end of this world and is like, stop right there. I have it. Calls her boss, the chief of police, and is like, Star Thief is apprehended. Should I use, you know, force to stop him? And she's like, no? Really? Okay. And then she's just like, well, I'll be getting you later. Which is very interesting. And then you get to the end of this and they're like, you need a pass to leave right now. You need an excuse from work. And so you have to write one. It's a cool puzzle thing where it's like the blocks only fit a certain way in this page. You do that and you sign it. And then you get to this lady and she is like, oh, of course. Yep. You're excused. Have a nice day. And you leave. And then you go to the next like little section.
The next little zone. I will say there's a bit about this world, which is one of the bits that I meant to talk about, where it comes to death, where one of this world's things is, I can't remember what section it is, but the only way to travel is by killing yourself, by dying and then teleporting. The platform in this game, gang, if you like platforming, which I do, love a platformer, holy fuck, this game has some fun ass mechanics in it.
It's a good platformer.
Even if you don't like platforming, the full genre shifts that this game does is so enjoyable. There is a back half of one of the endings, which is an entirely different like mechanic system. It's a sport game. It's very good. I will leave spoilers for the end. But there's this one section where it's like this: you're meeting NPCs who are lamenting about the fact that to get from one end to the other, they need to die to do so. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a fun also bit of like, oh wow, the dying in this game is not only mechanical, but it is a canon thing that you're doing, as well as whenever you're meeting Merdeka,
I think
that's
the
cop's name.
Yeah.
The cop.
Mm-hmm.
If so, in this first area, she'll be looking at you doing stuff, and will occasionally give comments, very occasionally. But if you die in this, like, the first section, she comments, you can die as much as you want. Like, you're just delaying me catching you and stuff like that. Like, people comment on if you die in front of them, it's like an actual event that's happening. It's great.
Because it is, because everybody's immortal here. So people, like, it's not
so it doesn't matter.
Out of character. It is in character that you're dying. So that's why the world stays changed the way that you changed it. It's really cool. Then you're moving through a city trying to get out. And now we're introduced to people who are now on alert for you. The cops have put out a beat and they are there to to try to stop you. What happens there is really interesting because you encounter these people who are some people you encounter are skeptics. And they have like a little indicator that they're skeptics. You can talk to them. You can interact with them and just fine. If not, they are people who are going to turn you in and contact the cops and let them know where you are. And those people, when they see you, they have like a little like kind of red light indicator of where they can see you and you have to try to stay hidden. If you do get caught, they just call the cops and notify them where you are. You continue to play, which I thought was really interesting because this is my first time around. Like it happened a few times that people saw me and I was just like, is the game going to end here? It doesn't. You keep going.
Yeah,
despite that. There's a fun, frustrating little grocery cart interlude where you meet these hooligans who are...
I am telling you straight up. Have I 100% of this game? Yes. Have I ever beaten them?
No.
I got all the way to the end of this section, and the last bit is you need to do one jump over the guy, and I mistimed it. And I get beaten up every single time.
Every time. It's the hardest shit in the world. And then the game taunts you because it literally says to you, don't you wish you could do that over in the game text? And I'm like, yeah, I fucking do. sucks so bad. And then, you have more of a confrontation with, Murtika, the cop, who is really trying to get you, but she's, again, not allowed to do anything to bring you in. Mm.
Yeah, it's fun. Then, there's a boss fight earlier in World 1 where if you fail the fight, she, like, literally nothing happens. You lose the boss fight. She calls superiors and then is like, I'm not allowed to do anything? Okay, fine. And then we'll just let you go. And it's fun because then almost every conversation, every other conversation you're having, she references the fact that she beat you in this fight. But isn't allowed to do anything. There's entire cutscenes which are different because one of them, if you beat her on this boss fight, and we were talking earlier, you speak to this old lady who approves your apology to leave work. If you beat her, she like shoots a bunch of like little bolts at you, whilst this old lady's very slowly reading this form that it looks like you're going to have to dodge, and it's a whole thing. They like fake you out. It's a bit of a joke. But if you win, she doesn't do... If you lose the fight, sorry, she doesn't shoot those bullets
because
she's like,
well,
it doesn't fucking matter. It's great. Yeah.
Then anyway. Then you do have a confrontation with her, and if you lose this confrontation with her. Sorry. I'm going out of order. Then she does catch you. She does catch you at the end of this world and brings you to court.
Well, yes. Well, first, before, whilst you're going through the kind of, the residential world, the area where people live, because originally you try to get on this tram and there's a pig who is, like the conductor, and he kicks you off saying that he doesn't work with terrorists, which is a fun bit that I do like quite a lot. But there's all these she's like being shown on the screen on these big screens around because everyone in the world is watching what's happening with the Star Thief, and you know, are we all gonna keep immortality? And we find out her backstory a little bit about becoming a cop. Her parents were cops, and she wanted to be an artist originally, but then on insinuating that she didn't want to be a cop, they locked her in jail with a gross little monster guy. It's fun. And then it's almost explicitly stated that they were the last cops because no one else is a police officer anymore, because who cares about people doing crime if everyone's immortal? But then you hit the theater where where you're trying to deliver the star. All of the crowd beats you up, seeing you and being like, oh, there's the Star Thief, let's get him, and then beat the hell out of you. And then you crawl away to the cop.
That's right,
and then
to Murtika.
She puts you in jail. Yeah.
Yeah. She takes you to court, which in this world is a like reality TV show where the court of public opinion just vote on whether or not they believe that you're innocent.
Well, first she takes you to jail. And then she takes
first
you to court
she does
after,
take
right?
you to jail, which is her house also.
Which is her house. Yeah. It's an actual jail. It's her and her boss. You're locked in jail. You realize that the door isn't locked at all. So then you just open the door and then you walk through the police station. Then you find out that her boss is like blacked out, drunk and passed out. But all of the responses that she has been getting this whole time of like, oh, yeah, don't arrest them. Don't do this. Do this. Do this. Have all been on like an automated voice like recording. Essentially telling her not to do anything because it doesn't matter, or like kind of randomizing what she can and can't do. Which is why in the first world, like why you don't get arrested, but occasionally there are things that is like they say yes to one thing and then no to another. And it's because it's on this automatic voice note. You try to convince her to take the star, and then there is a boss fight with her. This might be where you were thinking of. You have this boss fight with her in the police station. It's not win or lose. I think it's only lose. You then go to court. Oh, no, it is win or lose. You go to court after. It is win or lose. You go to court.
Yeah.
It's just it changes what part of the outcome of the court case is.
Of course.
You can either winning convinces her to be on your side, losing makes her resolute that you're
right.
in the wrong.
Yeah, which I did not do. I lost that fight with her. We go to court.
I lost this fight as well.
And we go to court and they're asking questions. It's wild what responses please the court of public opinion in this game. I could not figure it out for the life of me. So I failed to convince the court of my my innocence.
There's also a fun thing of like every NPC that you've spoken to so far also gives a response on it will positively or negatively affect the outcome of this court case. If you helped them, like there's a guy who I gave coffee to by like back doing a bunch of backtracking stuff. He helped my case. The cart boys negatively affected it. Your boss the boss that I knocked off of the thing, she negatively affected my case. There's a guy who you see and the very act of him seeing you makes him get so scared that he literally explodes. That negatively affected me. I also failed this. I also failed to convince the court, which means they take the star from you. Oh, and also, as this court case is going on, everything's blowing up.
Yes, literally.
Hundreds of people are dying. You're like literally watching it happen. Like huge parts of this world are exploding. And the courtroom is like decaying inward.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and seal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979, included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Salm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
I lost the court case. Did you also lose this court case?
So I lost court case, and then they take the star, they put it back where it's supposed to be, but it doesn't work because Theodore doesn't come and the god of death escapes. You then wake up. There's another time skip and you are in this like desert zone area.
Dingy
where everything,
diner. Yeah.
Everything is so hot. You're in this diner and there is this woman there, Carmina, who is like fancy. Mm-hmm. Bunny lady in fur coats.
Is it not Catmina?
Is it Catmina?
Because she's a cat, right?
It's Carmina.
It is Carmina. Wow, I misread Carmina. Her name every single time.
That's
I
really
was
funny.
So sure that she was a cat.
Oh, she is a cat. She is a cat, though, but her name is Carmina. So
good.
You are with it's her, Carmina. And she is like, why don't you work for me, kid, or whatever? And she is, because now that the world has exploded and the God of Death is everywhere, life stars have spilled out. All the life stars that have been put over the years into the God of Death's cage to keep him at bay all exploded out and are now all over the world. And now people are not immortal anymore. And so the only way you cannot die if you die is if you have a life star on you, and then you can resurrect. But that is the only way. So now the whole game changes how it's played. You can no longer just simply die consequence free. If you die, you are losing a dwindling amount of resources, and you literally have to find them out in the world to get more. Plus, it is implied that you do need to have at least one in order to if you were ever to put the God of Death away. Would you have this conversation with Carmina where she's like, whatever, work for me and stay with me, and we'll just make a scam out of all of these life stars. We'll sell them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thriving business. On my first playthrough, I said, absolutely not. I'm going to save the world. Shut the fuck up. And I took a life star from her, and I lent out the building, and I went into town and started to go and try to find all these stars where they are. The platformer is a lot harder from here than it was previously in the game, obviously, because you have dwindling resources. Also, the game introduces a new mechanic where there are parts of this world that are too hot for you to stay out in because the sun is now blaring. And so you can just die simply from not finding enough shade. And that adds to a lot of the puzzles of this platformer. Yeah. It's really cool and interesting.
It's awesome. It's great. It's so good.
Ultimately, when you get to the end of this world, which along the way, if you have done what I did and you said no to working for Carmina, eventually Carmina's guys that she's put together to have agreed to work with her, they all start to chase you and steal stars from you unless you're able to beat them, which is hard. There are parts where there's a lot of them. And then at the end of this, you go face to face with Carmina, who's sick of having you as competition. And you guys go toe to toe. And if you run out of stars in that fight, then it's just over. What is also happening in the background of this is we learn that the God of Death credits you with his success because you stole the star so that he would not get locked away again this year, and has told everybody that you are basically the savior of the God of Death. And you are known as that. So you're still known as the Star Thief, and people are thinking that that was intentional. So the cultists who worship the God of Death, they really like you and think that you're the coolest. But I lose this big fight with Carmina, and Carmina, I run out of stars and I die for real. And the last scene of that is that you are memorialized on TV by the cultists as the hero that saved the God of Death and set right the world. And then we get a post-credits cutscene of Murtika, who is no longer a cop, who is beaten her way through a police station and taken from the cultists their life stars, and is clearly on a journey to do it her damn self. That was my first ending that I got. That is the hero who freed the death. So I was remembered not for trying
That's
to save the world
so
at all,
sick.
But for fucking trying to save the God of Death and destroying the world.
That's awesome.
Then,
that's really cool.
That's when I went back. And I was like, did you get that ending, by the way? Did you get the number 4 ending? Oh, you got
I got
all
the
of
number
them,
4
so...
ending. My the first proper one that wasn't the like really short one, I didn't join Carmina. I didn't fight Carmina either. She sent like a this like one huge goon guy after me, and then I beat him. She then manages to get you captured anyway. She takes you back to the old shop that you were both supposed to work in. And it's another, just like the court case, good or bad, like red-green pull of like trying to get, convince her to let you go, because all of the death cultists are trying to break into the building. You're trying to convince her to let you go, or she's going to keep you tied up and you're going to burn to death. And because she's like, fuck it, we're all going to die. I have a bunch of stars, you're going to die. But, you're trying to convince her. I did successfully convince her to let me go, but that still ended up with me getting captured by the cultists. You and every single NPC are like laid out in guillotines, ready to get your heads cut off. But because I collected a bunch of stars, because, you know, all of the previous stuff I've done, the God of Death thought that I was on their team and was like, I'm actually going to reward you for doing all this, like for doing all this. And I was like, oh my God, with what? And then it hard cuts to you in the same office that you interviewed, yes. But you now work. It's basically the same. The ending is, I believe the ending is called Back Where We Started. Oh, Welcome Home. It's like you never left.
Yes.
You do all of that only to end up in a 9-to-5 against the God of Death again. It's great. That was my first proper run.
Proper ending. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So when I went back after I did ending 4, which was my first, I went back and I was like, okay, let me just try to just make every choice different from the beginning. I had to literally do the coffee thing 3 times to figure out how the fuck it works, because it is a button you literally do not press otherwise in this game. So I made the coffee. I got the 2 short endings, one where you work there forever as a coffee maker and then they reunite you with your family, and one
and
where
you, die
you become the boss and you get executed. Because those were pretty simple. It's just one choice, basically.
Yeah.
Then I did I did a thing where I did all of that. I tried to save the world. I stole the star. I didn't steal the star. I convinced Cynthia to give me the star. I basically mocked her a bunch about the fact that no one's doing anything to save the world, and I got her to willingly give it to me.
Yeah.
Then on my way out, there's that puzzle that we talked about where you have to make your little excuse from work letter.
Yeah.
And I just refused to sign it. You just refused to sign it a million times.
Keep failing it.
And then because they don't know who you are, the rest of the game is
so elegant. Good.
It's my favorite ending. It's genuinely my favorite
absolutely
ending.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Oh my God, you feel the same way? Yes.
I absolutely feel the same way. Because this was the penultimate ending I got. The actual ending, the final one I got was the do 100, like 100% complete, get all the stars. But this one, it's like, oh wait, no, this one might have been the last one. Did you have to do so much stuff so specifically, but the every act of the game is completely different. It's like, instead of Cynthia talking to the cops, it's some random fish who can't, like, who just speaks in glurbles, so then doesn't get any information from you, which means that the boss fight for Medica doesn't trigger.
Yep.
And then when you, if you fail to sign, normally you fail, like you sign it correctly, you walk past and the guy who you sign, because you're like, oh, I signed it, the Star Thief. And he's like, oh my God, yo, that's so fucking cool. You leave. And then it's like, there's $1,000 reward for the Star Thief. And he's like, well, and then dobs you in and says, oh yeah, the Star Thief. And this way. But because he doesn't know who you are, doesn't do that.
Doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do that. It has a different scene with that. And then when you go into the entire second act, you meet the cop, the pig. The cop. He's not a cop. You meet the pig. Who then lets you on the tram.
Just lets you on the train to go straight to the...
Just lets you on the train. And then all of the theater district is different. Everyone's just kind of milling around not doing right. anything, and you can talk to each of them rather than them running away and being scared. You get let backstage of the theater with this cool little weird,
which
big
is very
guy.
Interesting because the attendant of the Star Thief indicates to you that he's not supposed to let you in, because it's only supposed to be Theodore who saves the world. But mm-hmm. he is just like, hey, as long as I didn't do this and you never saw me, please come and
then
save
come
us.
And save the world. Yeah.
And lets you in the back. You put the star in. You do another one last puzzle to make it lock in place. And you save the world for another year.
Yeah. And you slip out the back. You do the hardest platforming sequence in this game, I think.
Oh, yes.
Is with this ending.
Yes.
So fucking brutal. Because you need so many specific things that you would only really do if you know the game. This game is really like, oh, okay, this is one of the final things you're going to do. This is a gauntlet. This is a fucking hard as shit gauntlet that you're doing. But you're running through these sections, seeing on the TV, Theodore saved us once again, and all this stuff. And then finishing that, the ending is the unsung hero, where you save the world,
yes.
but only for another
You
year.
Save the world, but no one knows you did it. Awesome ending. I loved
it's
it.
Great.
It was my favorite. I loved that one. And then the last one that I did was I went back. I did my original. I picked up from my original, which was there where I stole the star. Made it through the first world, made it all the way to court, failed at court. And then when you get to the world where you meet Carmina, I took the job instead of declining to take the job.
Sick.
And this was sick because when you take the job with Carmina, you just win at everything. It was so much easier to do this really difficult world when you sided with Carmina, because one, anytime you encounter someone who has a life star, the game just, because you've made an evil choice, the game is just like, yeah, you beat them up and you take it. You don't have a choice. It just does that. And then when Carmina hires all of her goons, they come in, they don't hinder you at all. So there's like so much fewer, like antagonists to you.
But then you have a final boss fight.
Yeah.
That's hard as fuck.
Hard as fuck with Murdica.
Yeah.
With Murdica. But in this one, because I had done the evil choice, by the time I got to Murdica, I had so many life stars. So even though it was a hard as fuck boss fight, as opposed to the first time I tried to do this and I lost like crazy, you do this and you've got a million life stars. So you have like a million chances to just to try again and make it through. And that is the one that you described earlier, where basically after all of this, you still wind up back
at
in the office at a desk job working for the Cult of Death. And that's it. Welcome home.
Yeah. I'm going to keep saying this so many times. I think this one was the last one I got. I definitely did this one after I 100%ed the game. Because I was looking at where every star is on the... Because the thing is, in the final world, to 100% it, you need to pick up every single star and you cannot die once. Because when you die, you lose a star breaks. Every guide, because I did look at a walkthrough just to make sure I wasn't fucking anything up. Every guide is like, join Carmina. The last act is so much easier. The only thing you need to do is beat Murdica. And she's a fairly hard boss fight, but as long as you do that, it's fine. I, not having fought her before, but I had done everything else. I'd done the against Carmina run a couple times. I was like, yeah, I'll just do it this way. So this might have been the last one I did. But it's good, though. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah.
So, the other endings. So this game is, again, stunning. I think it's so fun. So the other endings, well, specifically the ones I'm going to talk about, is if you win the court case at the end. If you win the court case, you put the star back in, and then it cuts to like a few days, a few weeks later. It's you and Murdoch at a golfing range. You and Murdoch are just friends, and it turns into a golf game. Like, you are no longer platforming.
Oh my God, shut up.
You are just playing golf. You do platform, quote unquote, but you are like, it's you're hitting a ball and then you move to where the ball is. And in this world, nobody knows how to play golf. You're playing on Theodore's range, but then Theodore is like, but then Murdoch at the time is like reading a manual of how to play golf. And then it's like, oh, you need to destroy every single TNT barrel before you score the, before you get your hole in one, before you, you know, you put the hole in. Okay, I guess we have to do that. And it's like, okay. And then you have to destroy every TNT barrel. And then you and Murdoch have a little game together. She questions if you're doing it just as friends or if you're doing it like you're her boss and now she has to do it. I said we were doing it as friends, and I invited her because I liked her. And then you... Oh God, what? How do you get from A to B? Something happens where you go to Theodore's mansion. Theodore is still alive. And you go to essentially confront him in his manner. You find an old journal, and as you're playing golf through his mansion, Murdoch is reading this journal about how him and the God of Death used to be best friends. They used to be the best friends in the world. They used to be business partners. But then the like desire to be immortal overtook Theodore, so then he betrayed the God of Death by trapping him in this suitcase. But he's realizing now that the God of Death has built up an immunity to life stars, and he's going to be getting out eventually. So he's like, "Fuck it, I'll just let him out. I'll let him out, and we'll." Confront each other like we were supposed to all those years ago. And if you disagree and you say no, that's fucking crazy, you and Theodore have a golf battle in outer space where you are fighting him with your golfing prowess. If you beat him, which I did the first time doing this, you kill Theodore, and I think you kill Theodore, or you just push him into submission, and then you and Murdoch kind of lament about the fact that it is coming to an end eventually, and this immortality that everyone wants will end at some point soon, in the next few years. But you don't know how long that is, so fuck it. We are just going to love life and appreciate everything, because everything has to end at some point. That's what makes it better. If you lose, the God of Death breaks free, and then him and Theodore have this big final confrontation where Theodore just kind of gives up his own life. And it's a lot of very cool cutscenes, beautiful hand drawn, slight pixeled cutscenes, with the God of Death killing Theodore. It's great.
Yeah.
It's good. It's cool. It is a fantastic final two chapters, because of the whole thing being completely different. 100% completion ending. I've mentioned it a couple times. You'll be so glad to know that you do whatever you need to do. Then you get the job, and you're like stuck in a management position or whatever. And then your boss turns up and is like, hey, the God of Death thought you did such a good job that we decided to give you this. And it is a tiny, shitty little trophy that says 100% completion. And that's it. Everything else is exactly the same to the other ending where you get trapped in the job. I love it so much.
That's awesome.
It's really good.
That's really good. One other thing that we do have to talk about that is really cool is that in this game, when you're playing, there are coins. There are coins around that you lose when you die.
Yes.
You lose incrementally when you die. But there are checkpoints where you deposit them and then you don't lose those no matter what happens.
Yeah. If you get 450 throughout the entire, all the times you're collecting it. Well, I mean, every 50 you get, you can go to the main menu and look a little story. If you have 450, you unlock absolutely everything that you can see. And there's no point collecting anymore. Yeah.
But the cool thing is that, like, when you go back to the main menu, you unlock this secret world where you go
subspace.
To access. Yes. Where you go to access Merdeka's memories, specifically memories about her or of her. And in that, we learn, obviously, more heartbreaking details about how she was forced to become a cop by her parents. And that she was just like so eager to be like a rule follower and like please her parents that's how she wound up here. But then we also learn that your boss at your job and the chief of police were conspiring to like let the God of Death out. That this was
it would
like
be good for business to do
it would
so.
Be good for business. Yeah. So they were in cahoots together about doing this and that, and you kind of unlock that story. And in unlocking it, it is not just like a codex entry or whatever. You are actually have to like, you know, platform through this little world to get to these memories, which is really cool. I loved it. I loved every bit of it so much.
It's not just Merdeka, though. There is also another section about the God of Death and him getting trapped in the thing, which, again, it talks about how the pair of them used to be friends. And the God of Death, Theodore asked the God of Death what happens to the souls after they die. And the God of Death was like, kind of nothing. I just kind of extinguish them. And he's like, oh, so there's no afterlife? And he's like, no, there's no afterlife. I just kind of get rid of them. Once you die, you're done. And that is what makes him go, oh, I need to kill this guy so I can never die and go into this like endless nothing existence.
Yeah.
It's good. It's cool.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good. One final ending, because there's a couple more, but they're the same. Like, you can get one where Dylan, just like your ending, where Merdeka turns off the screen, beating everyone up in a police station. If you join Merdeka in that final thing, it is the same, but you are also there. Everything is dying and going crazy, but you have a life star and you're like running behind her as she's beating the shit out of everyone. Since the pair of you team up to kill it. The last one is in the game, there are four hidden gems. The first one I found on my literal first ever run where you start and you're in your little office chair and you have to go right. But if you go left instead, there's a fake wall and you go through it and there is a big gem with a very detailed face drawn on it. And he says, the true test is beginning. And then if you find three more of them, one in each world, which is all through like you go through a wall that's not actually there, and then you do a stupid hard platforming section. You then unlock
so hard.
Yeah. You then unlock ending 11, which is noted here in the achievements as the realest, best, and most canon ending. You see all these gems. You free all these gems. When you free the last one, the gem is like, okay, I'm going to show you now my true form. And it is exactly the same, very detailed face on this gem's head, but the gem's head is now on this incredibly muscular, ripped body. And then they turn you into a life star, and then you fall to back to the planet surface. And then that is, quote unquote, the realest, bestest, and most canon ending, which is obviously a joke. But your reward really for doing fun. All this is that you get turned into a life star. Which is
That's
pretty
really funny.
Fun. It's good.
Oh my God. It's
anyway,
so
gang,
good.
Genuinely,
weird.
My ranking for this is actually so good. It's so fun. And I know
it's
that this
so
is
good.
A game that no one was asking for us to do, but this is the joy of indies, baby. The best game that you will play this year is probably something you've not heard of before. This is one of them. I saw this, and I saw this when it came out because a YouTuber I watched was playing it, and I kind of wrote it off. It's not that I wrote it off, but I just didn't. I saw, because that YouTuber also did the same ending I did, and I thought that's what the game was, not this like a platformer. And I was like, yeah, sure, it's pretty fine. But playing it, it's so fun. The amount of shit that changes through tiny, like, that doesn't affect the ending at all, but just through little interactions, through losing a boss fight, it doesn't matter. You just get different people talking to you in different ways, interacting with the world in minor ways. It changes how people talk to you. This shit's so fun. Again, I got all of the endings. I never beat those fuck-ass goat boys at their stupid little cart game.
No, fuck those goat boys.
It's a blast, gang. It's so
good.
It's really good. I was a little unsold about it for the first, like, hour I was playing it. And then, evidently, gang, I played it so much that I was like, no, I want to finish it. I want to see every single way that this game shifts and changes and talks to me as someone who's playing it. It's the fucking best. It's so fun.
It's really good. And it's so clever and it's so weird. I just really love it. And I think it's just so charming. There's so much too. I like, even if you've listened to this and you haven't played it, I don't think we've ruined it for you. I think
absolutely
you genuinely,
there is so much we haven't talked about.
Yeah,
there's,
I think,
genuinely too much in
up.
This game to talk about. Like neatly in a little package. But this game is also impossible to have like a 2-3 episodes on because we've kind. It's just talking about the different endings and how things change.
Yeah.
It's fantastic though, gang. It's really good. If you get a chance, I highly, highly recommend you picking it up. It's
super recommend.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And that means next time on Dorkspawn.
Now this is fun because I am still not 100% sure on what we're playing next. So this is gonna be a blast for me.
The poll was close. It was close. Between Baldur's Gate 3 and Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. It was very close, down to the wire. But eking ahead, I believe 47% to 45% Knights of the Old Republic 1.
Okay. Sick and twisted.
Sick
Good.
And twisted.
And I fuck with that real hard, actually. That's
Me
great.
Me too. I'm
we're
really
going,
excited.
We're going back to BioWare gamers.
We're going back Sick. To our roots. We're going back,
going back to
our BioWare's
fucking roots.
Roots.
Going back to our BioWare's roots. Ooh, baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh, baby. Okay. Fuck. Okay. So.
Yes.
I have played the opening of this game. So I played a little bit of this. So I do know that there are several planets, I believe 5. There is like a tutorial zone on a spaceship and then a planet. Do we want to have the prologue, do a classic Dorkspawn? Next week is just the prologue of Knights of the Old Republic.
100% yes.
We also have to figure out how to get it working on our Steam Decks, because I do know it's a bit of a pain in the ass.
We'll have
heard this.
The people
I
have.
Do know if people have it on Switch, if anyone has a Switch, it runs like a fucking dream on Switch. Gang.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I do technically have a Switch. I could just do that. I could.
Sure. I have to do. I have to do. I got it. Oh my God. Knights of the Old Republic, idiot. Oh, it's in my library. That's why it wasn't turning up. Fuck yeah. Okay, I'll download that. It is apparently playable on a Steam Deck. It's playable on a Steam Deck. I think it has an opening window. I think that's the thing that will be a bugger to us, is that it has a launcher window.
A launcher? Sure.
Yeah, but we are old hats at getting over launches by now.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. Hell yeah. Gang, I'm so excited for that.
I'm actually so fucking stoked. I'm so juiced about it. I mean, what a fucking blast. This is something that I've been really looking forward to, because neither of us have played this, right? I played the opening, but that's about it.
I played one so long ago that I may as well not have. It was...
Fuck yeah.
I was a child. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
So I'm really excited. So very technically, I played one.
Sure.
Feel very new to me, I can guarantee.
What a blast. Okay, gang. What's our closer for Peppered? Oh, they got one. Hey, gang, they're thinking about
it. You got
it.
One? What is it?
No, I said they've got one. In referring to you, because I thought you had one. Except for because the... Peppered quotes. Not Pepper quotes, you dumbass. This game's too indie. You ever think about that? You ever think about how it's too indie?
It is.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da.
Oh, I have one. I have one, I think.
Okay.
There's a cheeky bit of dialogue that happens a few times that is said to you. It's said in the coffee making game. It's said when you are putting the life star in to secure the god of death, and a few other times. And it's really fun, I think, where they say, "And remember, you've only got one shot." And the game really zooms in on you with this. And it's so fun because it's clearly not true, because this is a game where you are going to be playing this multiple times to redo your endings. So I think that's it. Yeah.
Listen up, fuckheads.
Hey, you fucking corporate slime balls.
You corporate
useless,
idiots. Useless
desk
pathetic
jockeys.
People. You better get this right. Because
remember,
I tell you what.
You only
get one
shot.
Hell
yeah.
I like it.
This is a Many-Sided Podcast.